Hi, you're listening to This Is Not Your Practice Life. I'm your host, Macy Renee, and we are going on a journey together, my friends. I'm a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. And if you really want to step into your highest self, there are a few non-negotiables you're going to have to learn. And I am just the person to help you do it. No matter your past, I'm here to help you create a more fulfilling future. So stick around with me. Not only will I teach you how to navigate your brain's daily mind drama, but I'll help you actually understand your mind, your emotions, why you do the things you do, and why others do the things they do. Most importantly, I'll help you build the self-awareness skills to create whatever results you want. It's never too late to change the trajectory of your life. After all, this is not your practice life. Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. My name is Macy. I'm excited to have you here today, and I hope that you get everything that you need. So, you guys, real quick, I'm going to do just a quick recap on some things that maybe you've missed. Just because last week I did not record an episode, I have been trying to get into a good routine because I've added more things to my routine. So trying to balance it all at times has been a little bit challenging. So I have regularly gotten myself back into the gym. I am practicing Italian. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know, probably back in 2020, I started practicing Italian and I did well for a while and then I fell off track. So anyways, I've started over. I'm practicing Italian again. And I'm working out, and it's a whole extra level of my brain, you know, being mentally and emotionally exhausted because it wants to go, I don't want to, I just don't want to. And because of that, I was so tired last week, I didn't even record an episode. Like, I had every intent to, and I just was like, oh my gosh, I'm just gonna give myself a week off and then come back at it. So there are some things that maybe you've missed since I took a week off from recording. And the first thing is I recorded a free training called Cope Better. If you're in a place where you want to learn a foundational emotional intelligence concept, if you're someone who buffers all of your stressors and your anxiousness away and you want to really understand why we do that as humans. Why do we shove all of our emotions down? And then why do we feel so heavy and so emotionally sometimes out of control? Like, or maybe we respond to things in ways we're not proud of. Why do we do that? Then you definitely need to go sign up for the free training. So you can find the free training if you go to MacyRenee.com. It will pop up. If you go on my Instagram and you click the link in my bio, it'll pop up. But there's also a pinned post where you can sign up and you may even see it circulating the internet because it's running as an ad. So if you see it pop up or if you're interested in, you know, watching that, all you have to do is go sign up for it. And the trainings, it's a two-part training, it will come right to your inbox. Okay, so that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is that if you're listening to this podcast on time, on Monday, January 29th, you have about 3 days, give or take, to sign up for Early Bird of the Hybrid Experience, which is my advanced emotional intelligence room, for $850 a month. This payment plan is going away. It will not come back. So if you've needed the lowest payment plan possible and the longest amount of time to pay to put yourself in that coaching program that starts in July, this is your opportunity. We start in July. We'll do 6 months of coaching. We'll be done just before Christmas. You'll be able to spend Christmas and New Year's very present with your family. And then in January, we're going to travel to Cabo together for the retreat portion of that program. So if you have any questions, just feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer questions. You can schedule a consult. You can reach out in a DM. But this is the final 3 days to get in for $850. $150 a month. Okay. After this, there will still be a payment plan, but it's going to go to a 6-month payment plan in February. And that's really the next longest amount of time you have to pay it off, because if you continue to wait, you're going to end up having to pay in full, or you might be able to squeeze in with a 3-month payment plan. Okay. So the options just become more narrow the longer that you wait. So if you want the longest amount of time to pay this off, you have 8 months to pay it off for $850 if you get in before January is over. Okay, that's all I want to say. So earlier today on my Instagram, I asked for people to anonymously submit what they wanted to hear on the podcast. And I actually got one. So not a lot of people have submitted yet. To be fair, I kind of did it last minute, but I'm going to focus on that one submission that someone sent in, because I think other people probably, you know, battle with this. And it is, how do you maintain emotional intelligence when you are in a job where your boss's energy is tumultuous and you feel like you need to walk on eggshells? And for anybody who is like, ooh, tumultuous is a really big word, I'll just tell you what it means. It's a violent outburst or chaotic activity, okay? So it's kind of like they just have tumultuous behavior, very like outburst, maybe inappropriate, over-the-top behavior. And so we are going to talk about that today. How do you maintain your emotional intelligence basically when you're being triggered by someone else's behavior? Are you ready for this? Let's go. So first and foremost, here is what I want to say. I want to come back really quickly to the Cope Better training, because the concept that I teach in that training is very, very helpful for understanding why, from a level of emotional intelligence, we respond the way that we do. And when we're triggered by someone else's behavior, there is a version of us that's stepping in and responding more so than our emotionally intelligent adult. So if you haven't watched the Cope Better training, or you're listening to this episode, make sure that you find it on Instagram, or that you go to MacyRenee.com and you sign up for it and you watch part one and part two. Don't skip part two, okay? Make the time to watch it. It's 33 minutes. It's not that long. It will help you raise your emotional awareness tremendously. And when it comes to this type of thing, where you're in professional setting, and you have, whether it's a boss or a coworker or anyone that is having kind of tumultuous behavior or just not great emotional intelligence, the first thing that you have to look at is what is triggering to you about their behavior. So just based on this submission, it sounds like this person is feeling like they have to walk on eggshells, which tells me that there is, in their mind, a right or wrong way to be in order to make sure that they don't rock the boat, that this boss remains, like, keeps their attitude in check or doesn't get super emotionally triggered or activated, or that they don't get, you know, fired or feel like they're at risk of getting fired. So the walking on eggshells. And I tell my clients this all the time, and this, you can apply this really to any relationship. This could be with a partner, a romantic partner, a friend, again, a coworker, a boss, a mother-in-law, a parent, a sister, a brother. I don't care who it is. When you're around someone and you feel like you have to walk on eggshells, okay, you have to walk on eggshells. What you're doing in that moment is taking responsibility for someone else's emotional behavior. You are, in a way, changing your own behavior or being super mindful of how you show up, because you believe that if you change how you show up, you can control their emotional experience. What I want to break down to you is you can never control someone's emotional experience. That is for them. That is their responsibility. And the fact of the matter is, yes, we can behave in certain ways that are going to please other people. But that is not actually our job. It's not our job to manage other people's emotional experiences, especially that of adults. These are grown ass adults, okay? The reason that people feel emotion, so let's say we're talking about the boss and there are certain things that trigger him or her, okay? They are being triggered by their thoughts, whatever they are thinking. So they could be thinking, this person doesn't know what they're doing. This person doesn't do their job. This person I have to tell 50 times a day. This person just doesn't get it. I'm too tired for this. I have a lot going on in my own life. I don't want to deal with this. I hate this job. I don't want to be here. I'm just giving examples of everything that could be rolling through their mind because their thoughts create their emotions. I'm going to repeat that. Their thoughts create their emotions. Your thoughts create your emotions. Okay? So even the statement, my boss's energy is tumultuous, is just a thought, but that will have you feeling a certain emotion in your body. And it sounds like the emotion that's coming even from that thought is like on edge, right? Maybe it's just anxious. And so what you want to do is get really clear on what do I start feeling whenever my boss acts a certain way? Like whether they start yelling, they raise their voice, they come in loud and obnoxious, they start, you know, reprimanding people. What happens inside of me? That's the most important thing with emotional intelligence. We have to understand what's happening inside of me. So I'll give you an example. Like for most of my life, I have shut down, and even still to this day, I have to really practice this work. I really shut down when people have a tone that is sarcastic, and not like funny sarcastic, but like passive aggressive sarcastic, or they start to raise their voice, like they're getting angry and they raise their voice. That for my entire life has shut me down, but it shuts me down because I have a history of childhood trauma with yelling. I have a very specific memory where I can remember like someone in my family screaming at the top of their lungs in anger and having to escape that with another family member. So my brain by nature associates yelling with it not being a safe environment. So therefore, if I had a boss that started to yell and I become triggered by the fact that they're yelling or they're very tumultuous in energy or whatever it is, I know immediately that I am going to have to practice so much emotional self-control and emotional maturity because my body is going to want to respond like my childhood self. My body is going to want to absolutely freak the F out. And if I start thinking things like, I hate this job, I hate my boss, I hate how they behave, I hate how they treat people, I hate it here, I don't like this, I don't want to be here. Those are all thoughts, but they're going to also create emotions in my body. I'm going to feel anxious, I'm going to want to leave, I'm going to feel angry, I'm going to feel frustrated, I might feel resentful, I might feel a whole array of emotions. And in that moment, here's what I want you to get really clear on. It's not the responsibility of my boss to change their behavior to make me feel better. Just like it's not the responsibility of you to change your behavior to make your boss feel better, right? There is a certain level of emotional intelligence where we can come to compromise or where we can get to a place of so much emotional safety within our nervous system that the things that maybe currently feel like a problem aren't a problem. And the things that feel like a big thing to problem solve are actually not that big to problem solve. There is that beautiful middle ground that can exist, but it really depends on both parties or multiple parties' awareness around working on themselves, right? Like working on what is triggering within themselves, working on their ability to be assertive or communicate, their empathy, their problem solving, their stress tolerance, all of which are emotional intelligence skills. Okay. So if someone doesn't have the skills, they're going to struggle with all of the above. They're going to struggle to actually communicate in a calm manner. They're going to struggle to be a team. They're going to struggle to lead effectively. They're going to struggle, you know, to be empathetic with something someone has going on. They're going to struggle to manage their own emotions and have a lot of control. They're going to struggle with all of those things based on their emotional intelligence. And if they have no awareness or desire or belief that it can be changed, that's what will create a lot of times that very hard work environment for people. And it's what also creates a lot of turnover, you know, in a lot of these companies, whether it's a small, more private company or a big corporation. There's a lot of turnover based on people's leadership skills, because ideally, if you're in a leadership position, in a perfect world, you should have a good amount of emotional intelligence, because when you're leading other people, you need to understand your own emotions and your own triggers, and you need to be able to understand the emotions of the people that you're leading as well. And if you don't respond in an emotionally intelligent way, right, it's going to be very hard to lead a team to do so. It's kind of like if you think about parenting, if you're a parent, it's like whenever your toddler or your child is freaking out when they've been crying for hours, they're screaming, they're kicking things because they're mad, they're throwing things because they're mad, you're either the parent that gets just as mad right along with them and you start screaming like a banshee and threatening to take everything away and losing your mind and then maybe crying yourself asleep and, you know, apologizing later, or you're the person that can hold space for your child's meltdown and confidently navigate that, knowing that they're also learning how to regulate their emotions, and they're going to learn how to regulate based on also how you respond to them. Okay. So I know that probably slaps some people in the face, but seriously, your kids don't know how to emotionally regulate. When I was still practicing as an occupational therapist, so for anybody new here, that was my career before I left to become a full-time entrepreneur and coach. And I worked as a pediatric occupational therapist for birth to age 3 children. And I was in the homes with babies and families every single day for 6 years. I served over 400 families, and I got to be in the nitty-gritty of everybody's family life. Some of those families I worked with for 3 and 4 years. I had multiples of their kids, and so I got to know them and their dynamics really, really well. And the reason that I say all of that is because as an occupational therapist, something we were teaching the babies was called social emotional skills, and it's their ability to be social and to regulate their emotions. That means that it is a skill you must be teaching your toddlers, your infants, etc. And even as your kids get older, you're teaching them emotional regulation. So guess what happens when the parent has no idea how to regulate their own emotions? Your kids also don't know how to regulate their own emotions. So that means whenever your kid is triggered by something, you are either the person that becomes triggered by it and absolutely matches their energy, or you hold space as the adult and teach them the proper way to manage their emotions. P.S., I talk about this in Cope Better, the free training. So make sure you go watch it. Okay. So there are different versions of us that show up based on our self-awareness and how intentional we're going to be about practicing our EQ. So going back to this boss example, you know, you're feeling like you have to walk on eggshells because you feel there's a right way to be in order to manage his or her mood. And I just want to remind you that that is not your responsibility. Your responsibility with emotional intelligence is to get really clear on the tasks that are expected of you. What's in your job description? What is expected of you at your job? How can you ask in a very confident and assertive way what the expectation is, or what they would like to see, or things that you would like to improve? No matter what feedback you get, how you emotionally respond, that's yours, okay? They can't make you feel any way without your permission, just like you can't make them feel any way without their permission. Okay, that's the biggest thing with us as adults is a lot of times we love to blame our state of being on another person. And I used to be very guilty of this. I share this very openly with my clients, and I've shared it on the podcast that whenever my husband worked his last career, he would have some really hard days. He worked a lot of hours. He worked like 80 hours a week, high stress, didn't love being there. Like, especially towards the end, it just got really, really hard on him. And every day when he would come home, his mood was just foul. Like, it was just awful. Like, what I expected and what I wanted so badly, and I think maybe several women, maybe even men feel this way, right? I, in my perfect little fairy tale mind, would be like so eager for him to get home so that we could talk and I could ask like, how was your day? And like all of the wifey things. And instead he would come in and I'd hear him like kick off his shoes. I'd hear the, that deep breath. And then he would go in the kitchen. He'd like put his bags down. I'd hear cabinets starting to like slam shut, not like really hard, right? But when you know someone's had like a really hard day. And before I had the awareness, I would be like, how was your day? And I would ask all excitedly, which if you had a bad day, you kind of know how annoying this is, you know? So I'm not saying like I read the room because back then I didn't read the room, okay? So I would be like, how was your day? And he would be like, I don't want to talk about it. And just like very short, okay? And then he would pass me up when I expected maybe like a hug or a kiss on the cheek. And he would go shower for like 30 minutes to an hour to like wash off his day. And then after he was done showering, it was like nothing ever happened. It was always like he needed to create this separation between now I'm home, now I'm in my safe place, now I'm in this new state of mind where I'm excited to be. But that transition home was never what I expected or wanted it to be, okay? So here's my point in saying this. I would become so mad. I would immediately gravitate towards matching his energy. So I would wait patiently, you know, I'd hear the car pull into the driveway and I would just think, I've had such a good day. I'm so excited. And then he would come in and it felt like all of the energy would be sucked out of the room because he's had a bad day. And instead of remaining in emotional intelligence and letting that be his, that's his mood, that's his emotions, those are his thoughts about his work experience, and that's what he is deciding to be in right now. Instead of just letting him have that and taking no ownership and no responsibility, none, I would immediately match the energy and I would be like, well, if he's going to be in a bad mood, I'm in a bad mood. So then... what would happen is we would bicker because I would be what I call, I share this with my clients, I call it being petty Betty. Like there was a part of me that knows I don't have to match the energy just because that's the energy that he's in. But there was another part of me that felt petty and like wanted to fight about it because all I wanted was him to come home and be in a good mood. All I wanted was him to come in and be like, hey, I'm so happy to be home and to see you and like hug me and everything like that. And it'd be like, I don't know, a movie, you know? And it was never that. Like in this job, it was just not that. And I would get so mad. I would feel like he was responsible for my mood, okay? And what I've told my clients is, years ago, and I know that I've shared this on the podcast, but I read a book. I can't even remember the name of the book now, but there was an example where this Buddhist monk would walk through the village every single day, and there were a bunch of vendors. So think about vendors that sell fruit, that weave different baskets to hold things in. They just sell different goods and services, clay pots, whatever. This Buddhist monk would walk through the village every single day, you know, passing up these vendors. And there was one particular man at one particular vendor stand where he would shout insults at the Buddha every single day. Every single day at this Buddhist monk or whatever, he would shout a ton of insults at him. And the Buddhist monk never, ever gave him any kind of attention. He never responded. He never looked at him. He never answered him. He would just keep walking, just walking straight past, getting, you know, all of these insults shouted at him, never, ever turning and saying a word, never telling him to knock it off or anything like that. So weeks go by of this man doing this nonstop, and finally he gets really mad one day and he shouts to the Buddhist monk who's walking past, as he always has, and he goes, "Hey, for weeks I have tried to get your attention. I have been insulting you. I've been shouting all of these mean and horrible things to you, and you never turn and give me any attention. You never say anything. You never even defend yourself. Like, what is going on? Why don't you ever acknowledge the fact that I am speaking to you this way?" And the Buddhist monk finally turns to him after all of those weeks and says, "When someone tries to give you a gift and you decline, to whom does the gift belong?" You guys, when I read that in the book, and I know if you've been a longtime podcast listener, you've heard me say this, it changed my life. If someone tries to give you a gift and you decline, to whom does the gift belong? The way that I use that phrase in my life is with people's emotional moods. It's huge for me in emotional intelligence. So from that point forward, when my husband would come home and he would be in a mood, I would always imagine it as a gift wrapped up in a box. He would come home and he would hold out metaphorically the box, and it's filled with anger and frustration and fatigue and, you know, maybe resentment and just all of these things that he's feeling after a long day of work. And he would try to hand me the box with the bow and be like, "Do you want to open this?" And the way that I would imagine it is if I grab the box from him and I open the bow, it's like literal thousands of pieces of glitter that just stick to you like glue, and that's who you become. And so from that point forward, the way that I live my life is no matter how someone else is behaving, I always remember that that is a gift and I would like to decline. I don't ever have to match someone's energy. I don't ever have to become the mood that someone else is. I don't ever have to walk on eggshells because of someone else's emotional experience. And if I feel like I have to walk on eggshells because of someone else's emotional experience, I need to check my environment. I need to check my own emotional intelligence. I need to check my boundaries. I need to check how I'm showing up. Am I shrinking because of trauma? Am I shrinking because my inner child is activated by something that I'm not addressing within myself? Like, I get curious with myself first. Why am I engaging in this? Am I afraid to leave? Am I afraid to speak up? Am I afraid to do something wrong? Like, all of those things can be solved whenever we're focused on ourselves. And once you figure out what your own boundaries are, your own desires are, what you want out of that whole situation, maybe it's just to be calm no matter what your boss is doing. Maybe it's to not even allow yourself to be treated that way, and it's standing up for yourself. Maybe it's not being in that environment at all and not feeling like you're stuck there because it's the only place you can currently find to work. There is no right or wrong way to navigate a situation where you have a tumultuous boss or a boss that lacks emotional intelligence. I'm not telling you there's a right or wrong way, but figuring all of that out is always up to you. That's your work. So I would say first, get very curious with yourself, okay, and work through that. And then also get really curious with the boss. And I don't even mean directly. What I mean is when my husband, coming back to this example, would come home and he'd be moody, rather than ask a bunch of questions about his day, how are you doing, all of that, I have a pretty clear indication based on his mood. Okay, so obviously it's not a great day. If I read the room and I take myself out of it and I don't accept the gift, I can see when I read the room, probably a pretty rough day. Probably doesn't want to talk about it. Probably would like to go shower it off and pretend that he doesn't have to go to work again tomorrow. Okay? And so what I would do instead is I'd just hold space until he was ready to talk, until he was ready to bring up anything he wanted to bring up, or if he wanted to, you know, watch TV for a little bit before he was ready to talk. And then I'd just stay in curiosity and I'd hold the space to listen. And if it felt appropriate, I might ask some questions just from a place of curiosity. Like, you know, are some rough things happening today? Or did you have a rough day today? And I never made his responses mean something about me, or that I have to match the energy if I don't like the way he responds. Because sometimes that's another thing. We have these expectations around how people should behave. Like, we have what I call a manual, and it's an invisible rule book that lives in our brain about how we want people to behave, how we want them to talk, how we want them to act, how we want them to respond, how we want them to feel, the rules we want them to follow. And a lot of times our manual is driven by ego of what will make us feel emotionally best. So basically this manual is like, if my boss would act this way, I'd be happy at work. I want to feel the emotion of happy. I don't believe I can create the emotion of happy without their behavior changing. And I will tell you that if this is where you're at, therapy or coaching can be fantastic. This is where I lived for a very long time in my life with family. I went to therapy for 17 years, mad at the world, mad at family members, and I felt literally like my emotional experience, my anxiety, my depression, all of that was never going to go away unless my family members that bugged me so much or had traumatized me in childhood would change. And I'd always say that to my therapist. I'd be like, well, I'm not going to be happy until they change. Or until they change and say sorry for everything that they've done, I'm never going to feel less anxious or depressed. And unfortunately, my therapists were never like, oh, that's not true. Actually, you can feel better on your own. That was never my experience. If you have a therapist that, you know, does help you through that, that's amazing. Stick with them. But it wasn't until coaching for me where it was like, you don't need anybody to change to feel better. You don't need them to be a different person to feel better. I had never had anybody say that to me ever before I had my coach. And I was like, what? Of course I need them to change. Like, they're awful. if they don't change, how am I ever going to feel better? And she was like, no, because you're going to work on you. You're going to heal those things. They're not going to have power over you. They're not going to have weight over you. You're going to be able to approach things with curiosity. You're going to see your own biases and your own manuals. And you're going to be able to decide like how you want to respond no matter who people are being in the world. And that created so much freedom for my life. So I hope that this episode really helps you see this from a new light. And if it still feels confusing, obviously, like, it's kind of, you know, it's hard on a podcast to help someone through such a general kind of scenario, when I know that for, if you lined up 20 people who had submitted this question, they'd all have unique circumstances, they'd all have unique experiences, they'd all have reasons why maybe it's hard for them as an individual to apply this concept. And that's where there's a difference between listening to something on the podcast and then hiring a coach to help you, because every single situation is different based on your own circumstances, your own thinking, your own emotions, how you're responding to all of it, your history, your traumas, like all of the things. So I hope in a general sense, this was very helpful to you and to anybody else that can relate to this, you know, podcast topic. But if you do need a deeper dive, if you're not sure how to navigate it, if it just feels like there's more to the story that I don't know, you're right. I don't know the ins and outs to all of it. And if you need help with that, I will help you at any time. So all you have to do at any time you hear something on the podcast and you're like, you know what, it's my time. I want to work on myself. I'm ready. I want to get out of my own way. I want to stop self-sabotaging. I just want to feel better in my life and create results I really want in my life. When you're ready and you've hit that point, go to maceyourrenee.com, schedule a free consult, and we will go from there. We will help you get the best setup possible if it's the right time for you to enter the coaching category, okay? So I hope this was helpful. I miss talking to you guys, and I will see you guys again next week. Have a beautiful week, you guys, and don't forget, last few days to sign up for Hybrid Experience at $850 a month. And don't forget to sign up for my free training, Cope Better. Okay, I'll see you guys soon. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. If you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook at Macy Renee Coaching. And if you want to stay up to date on all of my offers, announcements, and inspirational emails, you can join my email list at MacyRenee.com. In addition, if there's a way that I can further support you in your coaching journey, you can schedule a free 60-minute consult at MacyRenee.com anytime you want so we can discuss the best options for you. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.